Thank you, Professor Purdy. Members of the Board of Governors, Governors Emeriti, Madam Principal, Provost, Vice Principals, Deans, members of the faculty, distinguished guests, graduates, and their families. Bonjour à tous. As Chancellor, and on behalf of McGill University, I would like to welcome you to the Fall Convocation Ceremony for students graduating from the faculties of Arts, Education, Music, Religious Studies, and Science. But before proceeding with the main event of awarding degrees, the Chancellor traditionally opens the convocation ceremony with some brief comments. Over the past year, all of us here and around the world have witnessed a phenomenon which is truly unparalleled in any of our lifetimes. I'm referring to the spontaneous uprisings taking place for the right to vote in fair and free elections. Thousands upon thousands were killed and seriously injured and are continuing to be killed, attempting to achieve what we take for granted. And more of the same is certain to follow based on the footage that we have seen daily. Most of those who are leading these demands are not much different in age than those of you before me who are graduating today. Yet, when one examines the voting patterns of Canadians and Americans, the lowest participation by far are the people in your age group. In most cases, less than a third of you exercise your rights in this regard. Many of you have no idea the names of your provincial, state, or federal representatives, possibly, nor have you taken the time to fully examine the policies of the various parties and their candidates. Most likely, the explanation for your group's low voting participation is twofold. First, a belief that whichever party is elected, it will not make a significant difference in your life, and second, even if it did, one single vote isn't really going to change anything one way or the other. So why bother? And yet, I would like to think that you would feel very differently if tomorrow you were to wake up and find that your right to vote had been revoked. So when the next elections take place, I beg all of you to please think of the video footage of those who have paid with their lives and will continue to do so to obtain the precious right that you already have and failed to appreciate. Je voudrais maintenant inviter Madame Heather Monroe Bloom, principale et vice-chancelière de l'Université McGill, à s'adresser à l'auditoire. Madame principale.
Bonjour et bienvenue, Chancellor, Chairman, Chancellor Emerita, Governors, Senators, our distinguished honorees, Mr. Robert Wettenall and Professor Sheila Barchet-Goldblum, our colleague Michael Goldblum, Rector of Bishops, our Special Teaching Award winner, Professor Krista Muse, esteemed colleagues, proud family and friends, and most importantly, you graduating class of 2011. Encore bienvenue ici. As Principal and Vice Chancellor of McGill University, it is my great privilege to welcome you all here today to Place des Arts for our fall convocation. Graduating class, today is a truly momentous day in your lives, a day of celebration where we celebrate you, our students, and we hope a day of great celebration that you will look back on and remember always. You have worked hard and made sacrifices to arrive here at this milestone in your lives. It is natural to regard today as a conclusion, a goal reached, a time for leave-taking. But today, as we celebrate each and every one of you, it also marks the start of a new chapter in your lives. Convocation is, after all, a beginning, a ceremony marking your initiation in the fullest sense into the fellowship of the university. You enter this hall as students of McGill University, and you will leave it as graduates of your alma mater, the newest members of a family of more than 215,000 alumni worldwide, a family that includes our Chancellor Emerita, our Chair, our honorary degree recipient, Sheila Goldblum, who will shortly receive her second McGill degree, and in a few moments, Mr. Robert Wettenall. And class of 2011, as hard as you have worked as McGill students, and we know you have, it is sometimes even more challenging to be the family member or closest friend of a McGill student. And so as we celebrate you here today, I ask the graduating class of 2011 to join with me in expressing our gratitude to your family and friends who saw you through here to this day. Many of you will be thinking about where life will take you next and the choices you will make. Nous vivons dans un monde où certains membres de votre famille, certains amis et collègues habiteront des pays lointains, un monde où, même au Québec et au Canada entier, il est fort probable que votre réussite dépend de collaboration avec des gens dont l'origine et l'expérience diffèrent largement des vôtres. Graduating class, today you are participating in a tradition that predates Canadian Confederation. McGill has been awarding degrees since 1833, the first of which were granted on our lower downtown campus. And indeed, this year marks an important milestone in our McGill history as well. On March 31, 1821, then McGill College received a royal charter from King George IV, establishing it as a university with the power to confer degrees. Thus, in this historic year for McGill, we celebrate the 190th anniversary of our founding and a long tradition of intellectual and academic excellence expressed here at home and in every country of the world. For you and for all of our students and faculty, staff, alumni, and friends here and worldwide, this anniversary is an opportunity to pause and reflect on our beginnings, to celebrate our ties to this great institution and to each other, and to acknowledge the contributions of McGill over 190 years. It was on the grounds of our beautiful downtown campus that James McGill was living when, in 1811, he made the bequest of his Burnside estate and £10,000 to the Royal Institution for the Advancement of Learning. McGill's gift was made when Montreal was a small town at the edge of an undeveloped continent, when there was no certainty that this land on the side of a then wintry mountain on an isolated island could ever be the site, 200 years hence, of a great city or a world-recognized university. But it did become a great university, and you, graduating class of 2011, are the direct descendants of that pioneering leap of faith by our founder, a Scottish-born fur trader and merchant who spoke English and French and some Aboriginal languages, and who believed above all else in the power of education to transform the world. James McGill's dream has been realized to a greater extent than perhaps even he imagined. For nearly two centuries, McGill University has made its impact felt through its people in every important field of human endeavor, from medicine to music, from law to engineering, in business and in agriculture, in the physical sciences, the arts and letters, and the social sciences, here in Canada and worldwide. Our magnificent downtown campus and its more than 50 patrimonial buildings and monuments, many named after great McGillians such as Sir Ernest Rutherford, the Nobel-winning McGill physicist, and Sir Thomas George Roddick, the renowned doctor and dean of medicine. These buildings, named in our predecessors, along with our beautiful McDonald campus, these are symbols of human progress writ large, and I know that each one of you in your own way will continue to contribute to that progress and the enhancement of civil society. In the words of the father of modern medical education, Sir William Osler, a McGill graduate and professor of medicine, the great possession of any university is its people, is its names. The history of McGill is a history of remarkable individuals, of the men and women who push for progress and who reach for new heights of human achievement. James McGill was only the first great McGillian to envision and work to create a better world. Today, McGill's graduates are journalists and Rhodes Scholars, astronauts and poets, prime ministers, justices of the Supreme Court, leaders of NGOs, entrepreneurs, and Olympic medalists, and outstanding volunteers. And each of these people, person by person, was an individual just like you. Don't feel any pressure as I say that. These individuals have made their mark by embodying the distinctive spirit of McGill, our commitment to excellence, to diversity, and to community engagement and service that will be our future, your future, just as they have shaped our past. As we reflect on McGill's past, we also commit ourselves to its present and its future. We ask, what is the value of one student or one citizen, as our Chancellor has just addressed? Our newly elected members of Parliament, five of whom are McGill students, have an excellent opportunity to answer this question, to remind us that education is not a college course, but a life course. The true citizen is a citizen of the world. Graduating class of 2011, as you leave here later today, know that you will carry the good name of McGill everywhere you go. Please represent us well. And as you do, three pieces of simple but profound advice from an ancient scholar. Take care of yourself. If you are not for yourself, who will be? Strive to make the world a better place. If you are only for yourself, you will have failed. Don't be afraid to act, to give back to your community, your profession, your country, and your world. Remember that the aim of education is not knowledge, but ideas and action. And know that you will carry the good name of McGill everywhere you go. Please represent us well. And as you go forging new beginnings, remember where you came from. In his 1944 address to McGill graduates, written 1 month before he died, Stephen Leacock, the legendary Canadian humorist and longtime McGill professor of economics and political science, gave the following advice. You carry away today a parchment, keep it. As the years go by, your McGill parchment will take on a deeper meaning and will seem to breathe from the wall on which it hangs a magic wealth of memories. Wherever we go, we will carry with us our affections for the things and people we leave behind. In going out from McGill, your fellowship and all that it means remains unbroken. Leacock's words ring true today, graduating class. May you feel rich in your own wealth of memories and your relationships as you leave our campus today. And as the famously outspoken economist himself might have said, may you in your richness remember us. Stay in touch. You can be sure we will stay in touch with you. Above all else, may your education, your alma mater, and your relationships with each other continue to nourish you. But for now, celebrate. This is your very special day. We celebrate you. Félicitations.
It now gives me great pleasure to invite Provost Anthony Massey to introduce this year's winner of the Principal's Prize for Excellence in Teaching in the category of Assistant Professor.
Thank you, Mr. Chancellor. The Principal's Prize for Excellence in Teaching was created to recognize excellence and commitment to teaching and to celebrate those who demonstrate these qualities in truly exceptional ways. The winner we honor this morning embodies the best in teaching and mentoring. It is a great honor for me as Provost of McGill University to present the first of this year's four winners. The other winners will be recognized in this afternoon's ceremony. As you notice, Krista Meese is standing at center stage with the principal. In the words of her chair, Professor Krista Meese has blazed the trail since joining the Faculty of Education in 2007. She describes her own approach to teaching as constructivist. That is, she scaffolds the learning carefully by planning her instructions and then in activities that are designed to motivate students to become independent learners and critical thinkers. To this end, her extraordinary skill is in determining the level of need of each student and then providing that student with the appropriate support. Emeritus Professor Bruce Shore wrote the following in support of Professor Meese. There has been a lot of research about what students value in teachers, and high on most lists are fairness, humor, support, mastery of one subject area, and clear expectations. Krista is exemplary in all of these respects. Obviously, the most discerning judges of teachers are their students. Professor Maurice's students consistently respond with praise for her efforts. As one student expressed it, Professor Maurice's lessons are animated, fun, and engaging, making it easy for me to stay focused and interested, even when studying a topic as dry as statistics. She has taught me how to become a better teacher. Madam Vice Chancellor, it is my pleasure to present you a gifted teacher, Professor Krista Maurice, this year's winner of the Principal's Prize for Excellence in Teaching at the Assistant Professor level.
Thank you, Provost Massey. I now invite Principal Monroe Bloom to present Mr. Robert Wettenhall, that he may have conferred upon him the highest recognition that is within the power of this university to grant.
Mr. Robert C. Wettenhall, it is our great privilege today to honor Robert, known to all of us as Bob Wettenhall, a multifaceted business, sports, and community leader whose extraordinary vision and personal commitment has greatly enhanced the McGill and Montreal communities, Quebec society, and Canadian sport. Born in Port Chester, New York, Robert Wettenhall entered Princeton University and eventually went on to study at Williams College and then at Columbia University, where he studied economics. During the intervening years, he spent time in Europe, where he worked for the New York Herald Tribune and traveled extensively. Mr. Wettenhall began his business career with a position at the Manufacturers Bank in New York City, and in 1963, he co-founded McConnell Wettenhall and Company, a New York investment banking firm, serving as its chair for over 30 years. Mr. Wettenhall and his colleagues became involved in the ownership of professional sports franchises in the mid-1960s when they acquired voting interest in the Boston Patriots and helped to guide that enterprise into a merger with the National Football League, resulting in the franchise being renamed the New England Patriots. Upon his arrival in Montreal in 1997, to relaunch and become the owner of the Montreal Alouettes, Bob Wettenhall began demonstrating the characteristic determination, honesty, and far-reaching vision for which he is known to us. One of his earliest decisions was to move the Alouettes from the Olympic Stadium to McGill's Percival Molson Stadium. Thus began his pivotal role in the successful redevelopment of the Alouettes as Quebec's team, and with it the important expansion of McGill's stadium. What has been equally extraordinary is Bob Wettenhall's commitment and ability as a raw newcomer to our city and our country to forge relationships with community members and to help rekindle a passion for sport in Montreal, a passion that had been muted since the departure of the Montreal Expos. The move to McGill was an immediate success, bringing thousands of Montrealers into a new relationship with McGill and spinning off positive developments for the Montreal Alouettes, the city of Montreal, the province of Quebec, while at the same time helping to reinforce the ongoing stability of the Canadian Football League, one of Canada's oldest institutions, and to revitalize competitive football all across the country. Mr. Wettenhall not only brought football back to Montreal and built a championship team of which all Montrealers can be proud, he has also restored and expanded McGill Stadium, improving its infrastructure for the betterment of Montrealers and for McGill students and our athletic programs. These are terrific accomplishments in their own right, but what makes them even more remarkable is the fact that Mr. Wettenhall, an American with no previous ties to Canada, chose to come to Montreal to invest in a Canadian football team and then to commit that team to an incredible program of community volunteerism. Indeed, alongside his tremendous successes in business and sport, Wettenhall has a long history of service to his community. His lifelong interest in supporting and encouraging youth has guided his contributions, and for the past two decades, for example, he has been a trustee of the Lenox Hill Hospital, as well as many other service organizations. But here in Quebec, Wetnall has given Quebec youth a football team whose close ties to the community have spawned tremendous programs such as School is Cool and Adopt an Alouette, which encourage the province's elementary and high school age students to make positive choices. Each year, with Mr. Wetnall's encouragement and support, Alouette's players visit approximately 120 schools, reaching out to an average of 50,000 students each year to convey the message of the importance of staying in school, of developing confidence and leadership skills, and encouraging positive engagement. Bob Wetnall's dynamic contributions have had far-reaching influence and impact in the world of sport and beyond. We, along with his sons Andrew and Bob Jr., are delighted today to honor the outstanding commitment, generosity, and vision of this business and sports leader, this outstanding community builder. It is thus with great pleasure that I now call upon our Chancellor to confer upon our great friend and, yes, this wonderful Montrealer, Mr. Robert Wetnall, the university's highest honor, the degree of Doctor of Laws, honoris causa.
I now invite Mrs. Cynthia Price, President of McGill University's Alumni Association, to present Professor Sheila Barshay-Goldblum, that she may have conferred upon her the highest recognition that is within the power of this university to grant.
Mr. Chancellor, I am pleased to present to you McGill alumna, Mrs. Sheila Barshay-Goldblum, who for more than 50 years has been a devoted social worker, professor, and volunteer working to bridge social and ethnic differences between English and French-speaking peoples, between Christians and Jews, and between well-off and disadvantaged. Mrs. Goldblum was one of McGill's most prominent professors, recognized as a visionary in the School of Social Work and acting as a mentor for scores of aspiring community activists. She spearheaded innovative teaching activities, introducing a course in community organization, developing groundbreaking field placements, and advancing industrial social work training. Since her retirement in 1992, she has maintained strong ties to McGill, serving on the Alumni Committee for the School of Social Work and tutoring students in the school's Middle East program in civil society and peace building. She, together with her husband Victor, have always been and continue to be generous and engaged supporters of McGill. Mrs. Goldblum, who credits Eleanor Roosevelt with being her role model, has dedicated a significant part of her life to working with such groups as Sontrade, Big Brothers Big Sisters, Jewish Family Services, Meals on Wheels, Batshaw Youth and Family Services, L'Abri en Ville, and the Queen Elizabeth Health Complex. In 1999, she helped launch the Foundation of Greater Montreal, a philanthropic organization dedicated to supporting local charities. In 2008, she co-chaired a provincial commission examining the living conditions of Quebec seniors. 2 years ago, the Quebec Community Groups Network celebrated the many achievements of Mrs. Goldblum and her husband, by establishing the Sheila and Victor Goldblum Distinguished Community Service Award. The prize recognizes individuals who have contributed to the vitality and understanding of English-speaking Quebec and to forging links between Quebecers of different backgrounds. Mr. Chancellor, I present to you Mrs. Sheila Barchet Goldblum, that you may confer upon her the degree of Doctor of Laws, Norris Cosa.
Mesdames et Messieurs, il me ferait grand plaisir d'inviter Madame Sheila Goldblum pour prononcer l'allocution à l'occasion de la collation des grades. Dr. Goldblum.
Mr. Chancellor, Madam Principal, fellow honoree Robert Whittenhall, who thanked you so much for all the Alouettes have done for Montreal, faculty members, colleagues, graduates, and friends. The honor which McGill is bestowing on me today is very special indeed. I have been part of the McGill community, the McGill family, for fully half a century, and my debt to this institution is more than my words can express. I came to Montreal almost 63 years ago, not really knowing what I wanted to accomplish in life. I was hired as head of the young adult department. I was 23 years old, of the YWCA, building on experiences in New York City that had set me on a path which led some years later to the McGill School of Social Work. In the meantime, however, I became the mother of three children and found myself in the vanguard of a small group of women balancing work and family. It was a time when women had restricted access to professional opportunities. The leadership of the School of Social Work, however, was really visionary. I am eternally grateful to Dr. John Moore, who immediately upon my graduation asked me to join the faculty. He was a mentor whose memory I really will always hold in great affection. When Dr. David Woodsworth became the director, a similarly rewarding relationship developed. Within the faculty, I found a number of colleagues who were cordial and stimulating and became fast friends. I learned from them, and of course, I learned a great deal from my students. We strove to develop the intellectual understanding and practice skills to meet the needs and support the potential of disadvantaged members of society. It was a gratifying experience, and it still is to this day. In more recent times, I became involved in the McGill Middle East program in civil society and peace building. I was privileged over a number of years to tutor and mentor three students, a Bedouin, a Jordanian, and a Palestinian. I maintain contact with them and share their successes and their difficulties. If this proves to be a contribution to peace, I will be deeply and humbly touched. When I was charged with giving today's convocation address, I struggled to find thoughts and words which may be of value to you, my youthful fellow students, fellow graduates. We are currently living through an economic downturn in which finding employment is less easy than it should be. But we know that university graduates are less advantaged than those who give up formal education after high school or even before. We have to adjust to globalization, natural disasters, and political instability. And we have to cope with climate change, interreligious and intercultural relations, and a widening rather than a narrowing gap, not just between rich and poor, but between the super rich and the large majority of society. And we must do something, really do something effective. And above all, these challenges and more. And I don't know what exactly we need to do, but as John Donne wrote, "Send not to find for whom the bell tolls, it tolls for thee." Also, you have probably concentrated on a particular field of knowledge. You may have already chosen a career, or you may still be open to suggestion or opportunity. Whatever expertise you possess today, whatever expertise you acquire as you develop your professional career and reputation, do not let it be the sum total of your knowledge. Every one of you has the potential to be a broadly cultivated individual. You owe it to yourself and your society to achieve that and to transmit that culture to your children and grandchildren. You have become adept in modern technology, leaving me and much of my generation very far behind. You communicate remarkably efficient shorthand, and that has a certain value. But you are losing something. You are losing something in the process. You are losing the richness of the English language and the French language and the Russian language and the Spanish language and the Hindu language and the Chinese languages. Literature fleshes out history. I always wanted to teach a course just with a novel to talk about social problems. It illustrates the human experience. It causes us to think, and we do not think when we are technologically skilled automatons. Also, we must be sensitive to nonverbal communications. When you apply for a job or defend your PhD thesis, you will be judged on how articulately you speak and how clearly you think. There is another danger out there. It's expectation of instant satisfaction. Our technological world is fascinated with speed. But your life's work, in which you may move from one career to another, and even do so more than once in your life, or patiently climb the ladder of success, will require long-term planning and an intelligent strategy. Do not spend your life in frustration because achievement and recognition for it do not come instantaneously. Have some patience. Also, do not let your self-interest make you insensitive to the interests and needs of others. Do the best professional job you can, but involve yourself in the community. Choose a social action, or more than one, that will benefit the common good. Be open to the notion of change. Change is often uncomfortable, sometimes threatening, but it may prove to be inevitable, and it may prove to be enriching. Your capacity to deal with it may determine your life's orientation and your happiness. Be interested in public issues. Do not shut them out of your preoccupations. Let values inform your social and political actions. The vitality of democracy depends on citizenship participation. The downward trend, as you heard from the Chancellor, towards voter turnouts at elections is disquieting. Make it your business, your principle, to reverse it. And please do not regard public life and those who devote themselves to it as an underworld inhabited by disreputable people. Give it the respect that it deserves and choose respectable people to manage it. Consider being one yourself. Maintain your pride in your university and your commitment to it. Offer your reflections on curriculum and teaching. As you prosper, help your university to prosper as well. Take account of the changing demographics. Your generation is part of an older world than mine was, for two reasons. We, my generation, are living much longer, in better health, and we also are not producing ourselves at replacement levels. We must rethink retirement, and you, my generation, cannot do it for you. You should think not only about your family, but about demographics as well as you make reproductive choices. This is not a simple one-country issue. The world's population continues to grow, and the world's resources are finite. The world's environment is becoming less sustaining. We cannot be passive observers or even analysis of the phenomena. They require intelligent planning and responsible action. Your planning and your action. I challenge you then to plan and to act, to lead the world in the right direction as you take over its reins. I encourage you also to dream, to have realistic expectations, but to allow yourself to dream idealistically beyond them. McGill has bestowed upon you the capacity to do just that. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Dr. Goldblum. In her typical humble fashion, she of course fails to mention in the decades that she has worked in the area of social work the profound impact she has had from taking social work as a kind of semi-profession into a glorious profession, into a profession that acts on its own and not dependent on other professionals. And that's something that has really had a profound impact not only at McGill but across the country and in other countries as well. We thank you. We thank you very much, Dr. Goldblum. Je fais appel au vice-principal exécutif, M. Anthony Massey, pour commencer la procédure formelle. Provost Massey.
Thank you, Mr. Chancellor. McGill's fall convocations are university-wide ceremonies where graduates from many faculties come together as one. This morning, I am pleased to invite students graduating from the faculties of arts, education, music, science, and religious studies for the conferral of degrees, diplomas, or certificates. This is a truly joyous event in the cycle of the university's life, particularly here at McGill, where we have such talented and accomplished students. Each student crossing the stage will be greeted by the chancellor, the principal, or the chair of the Board of Governors. A student receiving his or her first degree shall remove his or her mortarboard or hat, and they will be symbolically capped on the top of the head, signaling ceremonially the conferral of the degree. A student who has already earned a university degree will keep the hat on and will be congratulated by a tap on the shoulder. Capping and tapping are done lightly. The 2011 convocation ceremonies mark the official introduction of the McGill First Nations graduate scarves for our First Nation Inuit and Métis graduates. This occasion also permits us to commemorate McGill's historic connection to all Aboriginal peoples, who are the original inhabitants and the traditional stewards of the North American landmass, including the Montreal Island on which McGill University stands. We celebrate all that these graduates have learned and that they have helped others to learn while here at McGill. Their diversity, their excellence, and their commitment to their communities and to the world enriches us all. The parchment or degree itself will be presented to each student by a dean or delegate as they leave the stage. En vertu des pouvoirs qui me sont conférés par le Sénat de l'Université McGill, je déclare que les candidats dont le nom figure sur la liste officielle des diplômés de l'Université, qu'ils soient présents ou absents, ont satisfait aux exigences de leur grade, diplôme ou certificat respectif. By virtue of the powers conferred upon me by McGill's Senate, I declare that the candidates whose names appear on the university's official list of graduates, whether they be present or absent, have satisfied their requirements for their degrees, diplomas, or certificates. We begin with graduate students and then followed by undergraduate students. I now invite Emeritus Professor Bruce Shore to introduce the graduates and for the deans of the faculties or their delegates to present the diplomas. Congratulations, class of 2011. Félicitations. For the degree of Doctor of Philosophy in the Faculty of Arts, Stéphane Desjardins. Mustafa Etobi. Norma Jean Husk. Mohammed Sani Ibrahim. Pierre Hong Min. Isha Centuri. Toiwan Sitzadet. Ora Beach Sekeli. Marilyn Terchik. For the degree of Master of Arts, Clarissa Louise Allen. Ariane Botex-Ferragne. Jonathan Buck. Benjamin Gregory Carlisle. Christopher William Neal Clement. Shannon Lee Corrigan. James Albert Darley. Gabriella Maria Lucy Gage. Amanda Melina Grittner. Helen Rosa Anna Heinotsky. Stefan Albert Hurtubies. Mary Lynn Knadel. Lukasz Kozinski. Matthias Remy Lalis. Annick Marie-Yves Lavogier. G. Lee. G. Ma. Emily Claire Paskovich. Rashea Tema Rodness. Gabriel Roy Chavarier. Alisa Sukhodolskaya. Letha Victor. For the degree of Master of Social Work, Jessica Lauren Barr. Serge Belland. Elham Bidgoli. Amanda Bisi. Kimberly Vanessa Brown. Christine Carmen Kalka. Melanie Karen Caron. Julie Marie Champagne. Sheila Lynn Clark. Jamie Aaron Corney, the Alumni Award for Excellence in Clinical Practice. Anna Swick. Melanie Adriana Choli. Natalie Elizabeth Dolphy. Tanya Gallardi. Ariella Bess Grossgrand. Karina Rose Gulkin. Natalie Haggart. Natalie Hopkins. Maureen Jean-Louis. Jamie Lauren Kravitz. Kendra Beth Lewis. Monica Beverly Lewis. Christina Longton. Jillian Cohen Luft. Crystal Lyons. Beth Martin. Susan Mintzberg. Krista Michelle Mauk. Kendra Patricia Ann Mountain. Carly Jill Noodleman. Margaret Therese Nossel, the Alumni Prize for Outstanding Master of Social Work Independent Study Project. Kim Sarah Wachneen. Tina Melissa Oliveri. Kaylee Ray. Rochelle Megan Ross. Nancy Louise Rotman. Nicholas Salter. Dwayne Sampson. James S. Shank. Maya Sigler. Jessica Hannah Steiger Levine. Janet Steinberg. Blake Thomas Stewart. Emily Nicole Tackerman. Anne Charlotte Turcotte. Amanda Gale Tyre. Sarah Louise Welsh. For the degree of Bachelor of Arts in African Studies, Brittany Francis Reynolds. For the degree of Bachelor of Arts in Anthropology, Allison Abramovitz. Aude Ludovine Barras. Hélène Danilov. Zachary Davis. Sarah Marina Goldstein. Madeline McGreevy. Tara Ellen Ann Cannell, first class honors, Dean's Honor List. Eloise Roy, with distinction. Alice Catherine Razvedovsky. Rachel Thorne. For the degree of Bachelor of Arts in Art History, Melissa Justine Gourley. Ella Mae Pershambe. For the degree of Bachelor of Arts in Classics, Alexander Douglas Meyer. David Nathan Eric Whiteside, Dean's Honor List. For the degree of Bachelor of Arts in East Asian Studies, Marie-France Fortin. Adrian Totino. For the degree of Bachelor of Arts in Economics, Stefan Abitbol. Marcella Bedrano Londono. Edouard Cavalier. Nicholas Congram. Charles Couture Tarzi, Dean's Honor List. Camille Marion Fernandez. Fei Huang. Sheikh Zain Hussein. Anika Mobashir. Adil Salim. Laura Spiegel. For the degree of Bachelor of Arts in English, Max William Campbell. Alisa Jessica Charles. Madeline Elizabeth Gauthier. Jamie Kennard. Stephanie Manny Harris. Aaron Schachter. Guinevere Shaw. Eric Wen. Andrew Arnold Zagaris. For the degree of Bachelor of Arts in Environment, Zara Ellen Boschek. Catherine Jane Okonski. For the degree of Bachelor of Arts in Geography, Sarah Elizabeth Jean Marshall. Virginie Reynaud. Hillary Ann Walker. For the degree of Bachelor of Arts in History, Walker James Kitchens. Mark Robert Lush. Elizabeth Fellows Milroy. David Samuel Nagel. For the degree of Bachelor of Arts in Humanistic Studies, Carlo Alberto Braferio. For the degree of Bachelor of Arts in International Development, Ashley Catherine Allen. Shiyi Fu. Charlotte Marie Ryan. David Searle, First Class Joint Honors in History, First Class Joint Honors in Political Science, Dean's Honor List. Taryn Alegria Hoffman. Craig Andrew Hooker. Benjamin Joseph Morgenthaler. Aaron Fanjoy. Lauren Olivia Pierce. Luca Joel Pike. Miranda Stephanie Crockett. Adrian Del Balso, Distinction, First Class Honors in International Development Studies. Nathan Ganaji. Jocelyn Marie Murphy. Neha Paliwal. For the degree of Bachelor of Arts in Langue et Littérature Française, Madeleine Patricia Boyd Clark. Nathalie Scherer. For the degree of Bachelor of Arts in Latin American Studies, Glenna Helen Cross. For the degree of Bachelor of Arts in North American Studies, Nina Joyana Michalatsky. For the degree of Bachelor of Arts in Philosophy, Laura Garo. Alessandra Hedy Lind Kenny. For the degree of Bachelor of Arts in Political Science, Morgan Aronson, Honors, Political Science, and Distinction. Cécile Anne Odile Capelle Laborde, Distinction, First Class Honors. Paolo Roberto Reyes de Leon. Amanda Maria de Souza. Vincent Mario de Chulo, Honors Political Science. Munia Elucal. Mariam Gerges. Kelly Thompson Hayden, Honors Political Science and Distinction.
Yale Hertzman, Distinction and First Class Honors. Janelle Mack. Brittany Alexandra Mooney. Joanne Emily Nakamura. Alexandra Pogrebetsky. Jacob Arlo Stromberg, Honors Political Science. Ayanna Woodward. Sarah Bingji Zhu. For the degree of Bachelor of Arts in Psychology, Ismail Syed Albiz. Christy Rachel Jessica Astafan. Roxanne Babin. Alicia Bartsch. Yanka Anna Brunetti. Laurence de Mondal. Corey Robin Friesen. Aman Kaur Gill. Alexandra Nicole Green. Amanda Lynn Henderson with distinction. Yanina Yosipovici. Ashika Lakhani. Leah Ma. And Stephanie Myron. Benjamin Siegel Nachmani. Jessalyn Grace Reed. Melissa Irene Taylor. Jessica Tufik Martel. For the degree of Bachelor of Arts in Religious Studies, Dominique Pilar Shade, Honors, Religious Studies. For the degree of Bachelor of Arts in Sociology, Kathleen Ann Andrichuk. Andrea Christina Katz. Andrew Stephen Harris. Anna Plesovsky. For the degree of Bachelor of Social Work, Rachel Filto. Marie-Josée Gagnon. Bethany Housenjan, with distinction. Erin Catherine Montour, with distinction. Forgive me if I didn't announce that Bethany walking just before was also with distinction. Tiffany Wood. For the degree of Bachelor of Arts and Science, Rita Chowney. Nicholas Gallagher Dillon, Dean's Honor List. Neri Elise Israelian. Camille Jourdain, Dean's Honor List. Leanne Silberberg. Christina Pernice Tadiri, Honors in Environment. For the degree of Doctor of Philosophy in the Faculty of Education, Dale Boyle. Andrew Churchill. I don't need this. Julianne Irving. Yang Lin. Evelyn Mondou. Anita Novak. François-Xavier Paré. Mina Erica Popliger. Amira Rahman. Jennifer Lee Saraceno. Masatoshi Sato. For the degree of Master of Arts, Naved Bakali. Liliane Bolak. Elena Carroll. Tanya Chichekyan. Heidi Clavet. Zofia Alexandra Tchaikovska. Giovanna Rosa Teresa Druda. Jamie Marie Duggan. Kanako Hirama. Gerald Jordan. Karolina Anna Konieczna. Shannondell McPhee. Evgenia Millman. Sherry Moody. Kelsey Marie Moore. Elizabeth Anise Mubarak. M- Matab Nazemi. George Radiotis. Nancy Riche. Jamie Lynn Sporton. Jennifer Aaron Titus. Natifa Natasha Weeks. Bridget Elena Kurtz-Weil. For the degree of Master of Education, Francesca Adler Demarais. Eva DeShaff Tweddle. Stefania Fuoco. Estherina Marie Gutta. Fallon Arlene Jacobs. Dana Amber Morrow. For the degree of Master of Library and Information Studies, Guillaume Cloutier. Zainab Firouzimer. For the graduate certificate in teaching English as a second language, Jennifer Hughes. Hee-Yon Park. Natalie Ann Popadit. For the Diploma in Human Relations and Family Life Education, Marie-France Privick, Dean's Honor List. For the Certificate in First Nations and Inuit Educational Leadership, Iva Alaku. For the Certificate in Human Resources Management, Brianne Marie Sampson. For the Certificate in Inclusive Education, Jennifer Ann Cowan. For the degree of Bachelor of Education in Kindergarten and Elementary Education, Sarah Roxanne Aoun Haddad. Michael Jack Dabate. Sofia Maria Mercedes Dizazo. Karine Hatuel. Jennifer Niradka Piperni. Melissa Sabatini. For the degree of Bachelor of Education in Physical and Health Education, Emily Ann DeLaurier. For the degree of Bachelor of Education in Secondary English, Samira Chalky. Kristen Gingera. Stephanie Simons. For the degree of Bachelor of Education in Secondary Social Sciences, Amreen Shajia Bashir. Jennifer Lozick. John Patrick Mantini. For the degree of Bachelor of Education for Teaching English as a Second Language, Elementary and Secondary, Michelle Moreau. Adina Lydia Nistor. Marissa Scatone. Jessica St. Pierre. For the degree of Bachelor of Education for Certified Teachers, Evelyn Natatsquan. For the degree of Bachelor of Science in Kinesiology, Alexandre Lepierres, Dean's Honor List. Mary Catherine Ann McMahon, Dean's Honor List. For degrees in the Schulich School of Music, for the degree of Doctor of Music, Alexandra Alexandrova Fall. Amy Lynn Horvey. For the degree of Doctor of Philosophy, Gina Ryan. For the degree of Master of Arts, Audrey Christelle Barbeau. Michael Andrew Collicutt. François-Georges Germain. Finn Heather Upham. For the degree of Master of Music, Larry Grant. Jakob Eric Palasbirta. Kimihiro Yasaka. For the degree of Bachelor of Music, Annie Leblanc. Michael C. Lentz. Daniel Miguez. David John Tenervia. For the licentiate in music, Olivier Paul Hal Barrier. For degrees in the Faculty of Religious Studies, Master of Arts, Eric Allen Farr. For the degree of Bachelor of Theology, Joshua Chu. In the Faculty of Science, the degree of Doctor of Philosophy, Tiffany Abitbol. Amin Hani Atrash. Lana Depati. Elias Epp. Melissa Ann Farmer. Richard Evan Feldman. Albert Stephen Henderson. Nicolas Oud. Pierre-Michel Caram. Yongil Kim. Mika Clementi. Mikola Kondratenko. Sina Miraji. Julien Pricleur. Jason Howard Schwartz. Chi Shui. Peter John Thomas White. For the degree of Master of Science, Stephen Tassin. Rasha Chieb. Jonathan Lawrence Cool. Giselle Carice Dookie. Sean Griffin. Alexander Klotz. Julien Robert Lhermitte. Yifan Li. Ariane Fiamma Purick. Mohamed Raif Najid Smawi. Kaya Tombak. Z Wang. Christian Wild. Catherine Sarah Woods. Zinang Yuan. For the degree of Bachelor of Science in Anatomy and Cell Biology, Abrar Al-Jassim. Karen Chamandli. Amanda Kanka. Ume Kalkan. Stephanie Kligman. Jeffrey David Lush. Haley Victoria Parsons. Allison Christine Cherner. For the degree of Bachelor of Science in Atmospheric Science, Suna Wong. For the degree of Bachelor of Science in Biochemistry, Grace Yin Chen. Jay Young Choi. Jean-Félix Duval. Julie Luli with distinction. Natalie Julia Matthews, first class honors. For the degree of Bachelor of Science in Biology, Evan Thomas Duggan. Tali Hertzka. El Sheikh Ibrahim Kays. Sorry, I mispronounced his second to last name. Ibrahim Kays. Tao Huang Tan Nguyen. For the degree of Bachelor of Science in Chemistry, Natalie Talmy Honors.
Natalie, wait.
For the degree of Bachelor of Science in Earth System Science, Angela Sheila Grant. Nadine Shatila, Dean's Multidisciplinary Undergraduate Research List. Jan-Erik Testal, with distinction. For the degree of Bachelor of Science in Environment, Kyle Bailey. Laura Catherine Gapsky, distinction. For the degree of Bachelor of Science in Microbiology and Immunology, Gianni Luca Bono, Dean's Honor List. Melissa Marie Emily Carvalho. Sébastien Labonté Truong. Remy Resk. For the degree of Bachelor of Science in Physiology, Lori Fong. Alyssa Jane Treziak. For the degree of Bachelor of Science in Psychology, Sean Kassam. Su-Wing Ma.
I'd like to extend a very special thanks to Professor Meredith Bruce Shore, who read the names out in his usual superb fashion. Would the graduating class please rise? Je demande à tous les diplômés de se lever. In my capacity as Chancellor of McGill University, I declare and confirm that each of you is now entitled to the distinction of the degree, diploma, or certificate that has been conferred upon you with all the honors, rights, privileges, and responsibilities that are pertinent thereto. À titre de chancelier de McGill Université, je déclare que, et confirme que chacun de vous a maintenant le droit de la distinction de grade, diplôme ou certificat qui vous a été conféré avec tous les honneurs, droits, privilèges et responsabilités qui y sont pertinents. Félicitations, congratulations. Je demande maintenant au secrétaire général, M. Stephen Stropel, de prononcer la bénédiction.
Go now in peace to share the gift of knowledge that has been entrusted to you. May this university and all graduates be diligent in the free and honest pursuit of truth for the benefit of all. Tout que nous venions, nous que nous allions, humbles et pleins d'espoir, nous nous laisserons guider par l'amitié et la solidarité, et nous grandirons en ce geste. May you be blessed all your days.
Thank you. To conclude, I now invite Professor Winston Purdy to sing our national anthem.
Stand on guard.